Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Clarity. We have to follow the facts where it may lead.
Credibility.
News of the day.
What we want is the facts.
And conversation.
What everyone should be talking about, what you're talking about.
Hear about it first.
We made history.
Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Hour number three of our get together. Good morning and stay warm. Freeze warnings in effect till 9 a.m. in the north central Florida area. It's 8:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Top story, not just wildfires in California, but all the buffoonery that goes with it. The lack of water, the lack of proper planning, taking money away from Los Angeles Fire Department's budget by the mayor, Karen Bass. All of that adding up to, well, exactly what we're seeing now, death and destruction, literally in places that never were impacted by wildfires before. We will get back to that. But right now, our friend from Gun Owners of America, Luis Valdez, joins us. And Luis, good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, Happy New Year, and shut the freezer. It is cold.
Shut the freezer door, right? I agree. Hey, let me ask you this. I saw that my carry permit here in Florida was, well, it was coming up. And I hurried up and did it online. And then they said, yeah, it'd be like 30 to 45 days before it gets approved, even though I did it online. And this would be my third go around. In other words, this would be my, you know what I mean? My third time of 6-year period. Is this going to impact me nationally? If I go out of state, are they still going to accept my card, even though it's, you know, out of date?
So nationally, it depends on where you go. If you go into certain states like Georgia and Alabama, for instance, where they have true constitutional carry with reciprocity, they are not going to have an issue with you carrying there. But if you go to some other states like Virginia or North Carolina, for instance, where they don't have a permitless carry, then yes, that's going to be an issue.
Mm.
But that's one of the reasons why Gun Owners of America is pushing extremely hard for national reciprocity. And we're working with lawmakers, and we just had House Resolution 38, the National Carry Act, introduced.
What is the biggest what's the biggest point that those who are not for that, what do they try to say the issue is why they wouldn't be for this reciprocity?
Well, it's the typical gun grabbers. They simply want to have their monopoly of control on who can and can't carry in their states, when in reality, your constitutional rights, your inalienable God-given rights don't stop at an imaginary line that is a state border. Because let's look at it very simple. Is your First Amendment rights, are your rights to free speech and the way you want to practice your religion, or none of their all, does that stop at a border? No. Is your marriage stopped at a state border? No. But why is it that your gun rights are stopped at a border? It's because they have a monopoly of control, and that's how they control and maintain power.
Well, you know, this played out kind of in real life here in Florida, when we had license tags where they would identify your county or whatever, and then all of the rental cars began with the same letter, like an M, for instance. Well, then people knew, the bad guys knew, that those were tourists, and they were the ones that basically were burglarized and held up and robbed on, you know, on a much higher degree than the average citizen in Florida. So we see how that can endanger people who are coming here and spending money as tourists. Why would we want to do that, like you said, in the United States?
Well, it comes down to a simple thing. You know, the Supreme Court has even said and warned D.C. that police don't have the duty to protect you as an individual. The government doesn't have that duty. You have that responsibility. You have that duty. And Americans have the right to be able to protect themselves from criminals no matter where they are in our country. It doesn't matter if you're a Floridian traveling to New York, if you're a New Yorker traveling to Texas, if you're an Oklahoman traveling to California, and vice versa. You know, you have the constitutional rights to keep and bear arms, no more, no less. And the beautiful thing is, this year is basically put up or shut up for the Republican establishment in D.C. They constantly campaign that they're pro-gun. They constantly push that they're pro-gun. Well, guess what? There's a Republican House Speaker, there's a Republican Senate Majority Leader, and there's a Republican President. All three have pledged that they support national reciprocity. Mike Johnson has said it, John Thule has said it, and so has Donald Trump. All three have said it. So now it is put up or shut up for our lawmakers to actually support this legislation and get it across the finish line. What I need is I need your listeners to call their representative, and most of them are probably going to be in Kat Kamik's district, but they need to call Kat Kamik, and if they don't, they need to call their representative, and they need to call Marco Rubio and Rick Scott down the Senate side and say, support national reciprocity, no more, no less.
Well, that's interesting. Kat, I know, is very pro Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah. I know she is, but I know, hey, even though she's pro, she needs to hear from her constituency to get that reassuring support saying, oh, yeah, my people want this. Here's all the records of phone calls. Here's all the emails. Here's all the letters.
So you laid out the script of what's going on in D.C., if we call it a movie. On the small screen, if you may, we could show the same thing going on in Tallahassee. Pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment governor, Republican, run House of Representatives and state senators. Yet every time we talk about the idea of open carry, they talk a good game, but gosh darn it, somehow they wiggle their way out of it.
Yeah, Senate President Ben Albritton has said that, and these are, oh, I carry a gun every day. I support law enforcement, but, you know, they're against open carry, so I'm not for it. I'm not for lowering the age of 21, mind you. He says that. He campaigns and says, oh, I'm a gun owner. I'm a permitted gun owner. I carry, even though you don't need a permit anymore in Florida. But he still crows that. He still claims he's pro-gun. Well, it's put up or shut up time. If he's pro-gun, he needs to actually support legislation that advances it. We're working on the state level right now to get an open carry bill introduced. There's a lot of work behind the scenes, but I can tell you this, it's an uphill fight, but we're not going to give up because we know Florida deserves open carry. Because, again, it's an inalienable, God-given right. In other states, when they banned concealed carry, they had open carry, and they used to call it the coat tax, which is a great name for it, especially with the current weather right now, because in those states, if it's cold, you got to wear a coat, you got to cover your gun, which means you were disarmed. Because in those states, They went after concealed carry. Well, Florida's the exact opposite. 9 out of 10 times, we're hotter than hell, which means it's hard to conceal a firearm. Same principle. Why is it that Americans, Floridians, are restricted due to the climate and wardrobe choices on how and what they can carry to defend themselves?
Well, especially 45, when... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, 45 states have open carry. Only Florida, New York, California, Illinois, and Connecticut banned it. Florida's the only Republican one.
Yeah, and we're also the state where the governor and others tout freedom, the free state of Florida. And that is probably a pretty accurate statement up until you get to that point. And it is a constitutional point, like you said. Look, a driver's license, there's nothing in the Constitution about driving a car one way or another. But the right to bear arms is extremely clear. And yet here we are in the Sunshine State, and we can't decide or we don't have the choice as good, God-fearing, law-abiding citizens whether we want the weapon to be shown and exposed, because in some circumstances that might be the preferred way to do it, or to have it concealed. In other words, it should be up to you, not the state, as to how we would carry that firearm.
Very much so. And the fact that you have lawmakers like the Senate president claiming, oh, because law enforcement's against it, I'm against it. Well, you know, as a former cop myself, I'm just going to put out common fact here. If we had open carry, that would have actually made my job as a cop easier, because I would have known, oh, that guy's armed. Oh, that woman's mm-hmm. armed. Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But I'll go a step even further. If open carry is such a threat to the public, why does law enforcement open carry?
Mm. Mm.
There you go.
Things we must ponder. Oh. Brilliant. Once again, my friend Luis Valdez, Gun Owners of America, looking out for our Second Amendment rights, and we appreciate it. We appreciate you sharing information like you do on a regular basis, and we look forward to good, new, optimistic things, a Trump administration, pro-gun administration. Hopefully, we'll get some of these things done and solidified once and for all. And so, Luis, thanks again for your input.
Thanks, guys, and do me a favor, raise the temperature on the thermostat a little bit. It's cold down here.
You got it.
We'll get all that.
The downside is we're going to have to burn coal to do it.
we can get some from China. They got plenty.
Yeah. Where do they get it from? Well, a lot of it they get from us.
Hmm.
All right. It is 8:16 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot more to talk about. Hey, that was a great interview. If you missed that or any of the interviews, here's an easy fix for you. Look for the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcasts. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Over there.
Allowing Ukraine to use American missiles inside Russia.
The world's on fire right now.
To right here.
We have to get back to a great country.
We have an incredible once-in-a-generation opportunity.
And just down your street.
Safety. And this is about infrastructure.
One weed company wrote it.
Touchdown, Gators!
97.3 The Sky has your world right here.
It blows my mind.
Hear about it first.
The Democrats.
The Republicans.
Isn't it nice to win?
Talk about it now.
Tells me everything I need to know.
The Sky has it right.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Pump it up. And we got to stay pumped up. Optimistic. Good things are happening, my friends. Thanks for listening to the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. We certainly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you. Yep. It's 8:21, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story, Southern California wildfires like, really, they have never experienced before. You've got destruction literally on the beach, homes on the beach. Mm. You've got subdivisions. You've got, businesses, one after another, smoldering in rubble. I've seen plenty of video through the years.
Sure.
I've never seen anything like they're showing us now. It is bad.
I was at an event last night with my amazingly hot wife, Jennifer, and a friend of hers was there.
She's so hot, they have to call a fire department sometime. But go ahead.
Yes. And a friend of hers was there, and her son, this gal's son, lives in L.A., and he had sent her some pictures. And it's really weird. You're talking about people, you're doing video and shots there, pictures in L.A. You're looking around. There's people. There's buildings. Right. Like you said, there's homes. And then you're looking out at the glow of the different fires in the distance, just it's a little freaky.
It used to be you'd see some shots of people coming down a highway that's generally wooded on both sides, and you would see those wildfires taking place, and you'd say, wow, what a treacherous drive through there. Yeah, I'd be very concerned if that were me. Now you see them on what we would call city streets with both sides of the street on fire. Wow. It really is something, and it could have been dealt with properly. Look, we're going to be talking about this probably for days, so I just want to give you a heads up on this. Most of us are fans of Pam Bondi, and quite frankly, a gerbil would be a better pick than the current Attorney General, Merrick Garland. He is worse than a bad joke, so we're looking forward to a change there for sure. And I got a heads up that it looks like Pam Bondi's hearings for approval through the Senate will take place on January 15th and 16th. And so we look forward to her getting the thumbs up there and tossing Garland out on his can.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And good morning, Hollywood. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm so blessed. Happy New Year to you guys, and thank you for everything you do. I wanted to comment. I have a younger brother that lives out right there in Hollyweird, right at the base of Hollywood Hills. And I think it was probably 5 o'clock this morning that he texted our family feed and say, you know, we packed up everything, but we can't get out. The streets are parking lots, so we're just going to hope and pray that, he said just right over his apartment complex, he said he could see the flames. And so we're just praying not only for his safety, but, that the body of Christ will rise up and God will use this as a tool to just bring people to their knees and cry out to him. So love you guys. God bless you. And God bless America.
God bless you and your brother. And we definitely send prayers out and hope that he's going to be okay. Look, here's my little, when I do my little fantasy, you know, when you watch 007, guess what? You're 007. You're thinking, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm cool.
So who are you?
I'm thinking, I live out in California.
Yep.
Oh, hells yeah. I'll be on my roof. And I got my hose going, man.
Uh-huh.
And I got my well pumping full time. And I'm going to hose that sucker down. And I'm going to keep it wet and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether that would be effective or not.
Some have tried.
And it does. If all you're getting is some of those embers that are kind of flying in and catching something,
right,
you may have a good chance of extinguishing that. But guess what? When you can't get water, when you don't have water pressure, you really are in a helpless and hopeless scenario there. That is, can you imagine how, nobody wants to feel vulnerable and powerless and not have any sort of an escape route, which sounds exactly like what Hollywood's brother is dealing with right now. How completely frightening is that? That is a moment where I would hope that you have a relationship with the good Lord, or you're going to be developing it extremely soon, one would hope.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wish these fires and destruction on anyone, even the leftiest of left bozos in California. It's terrible to watch people lose their houses and then, you know, we talked about the insurance nightmare. We're experiencing that in Florida and have been, and out in California. They have canceled policies that literally people have been in their house for 3 or 4 dozen years.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And never had a claim. And they recently got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I know here they're like tacking on this additional like hurricane type thing, and you're going to be forced to pay it, or you could lose your insurance, or it could impact your mortgage. I don't know. They got everybody over a barrel. And then you got to prove, I guess, there's an opportunity maybe to prove that you don't need that, whatever extra protection. Like most of us here, we live, you know, completely landlocked. Yeah, you could get destruction from a hurricane anywhere, but the odds, the percentages, the chances of being about as inland as you can be in the state of Florida, and yet they want to tack on these thousands of dollars in additional charges. Yeah, something's got to give. An earlier caller was talking about that. Yeah, we're free market people, but like in California, you know, here again, put the people last. when insurance companies complained they had to raise, you know, that they needed to raise their rates, you know, Newsom said no. He tried to like freeze them out. And guess what they did? They pulled the plug and said, well, we're not going to do business here. Instead of him stepping in or stepping up and finding a way to possibly subsidize things, at least if temporary, we're talking about a state that has no problem spending money on things like reparations.
Yeah.
I mean, they've approved that in so many places. Wait a second. Something that probably didn't happen to anybody you know 150 years ago because California was a free state. It was never a slave state. Yet you're going to pay these people generations later. But you're going to turn a blind eye to people who have been good law-abiding citizens for decades paying for their insurance, and you're going to leave them out in the utter cold instead of pay and help with some sort of subsidy. It's just grotesque. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Roy, you're on the air.
Well, you know, the issue as far as the insurance goes is quite simple. You've got to pay for everybody else. That's what we got here in Florida right now, dealing with the West Coast that haven't been hit. Before you know it, we're going to be paying for California, if not through insurance, through our government, because they need to be rebuilt.
Yeah. Well, we need to replenish or whatever the monies that normally FEMA would operate under. Oh, yeah. Biden drained that. Yeah. He drained that. And Trump took note of it and made sure people knew about it. But what else? What else is the Biden administration going to do on their way out? That's the kind of a frightening thought, isn't
ask.
It?
It's not a challenge, Bob.
What do we got? 11 days. 11 days. Dear Lord, hear our prayer on so many different levels, right? All right. There's still many things that we want to talk about other than just the fire, although there'll be many subjects that'll be intertwined within that. So stick around. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're still under a freeze warning until about 9 a.m. in most of the area. And you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
It's been a wild year.
Increasing inflation. Israel.
Ukraine.
Syria.
What a year.
47th president and your 45th president.
And what happens in 2025?
Act of terrorism.
New Congress.
House Speaker.
Happens here.
Buckle your seatbelts.
97.3 The Sky.
Good morning. It's 8:35. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Freeze warning in effect in the area until 9 a.m. Man, I guess this is not extraordinary weather for us, really. Not out of bounds, I guess, for this time. But it does kind of feel like it.
We just don't like it, even though it may happen every year. Yeah,
you know, as long as the sun comes out, I can deal with it. If it gets gloomy and cold, then I get a little depression can set in there.
Mm-hmm.
$500 million going to Ukraine, because Biden's got some extra pocket change, and he came in under budget. We don't have debt or deficit of $34 trillion. Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. I'm dreaming.
No, you sound like a Democrat. You were just lying through your teeth because none of that's true.
Well, part of it is.
Which part?
The United States is providing Ukraine with $500 million in additional weapons and equipment from its existing military stockpiles in what officials told Voice of America will be the final military aid package before President Joe Biden leaves office.
Maybe.
We can't. Wait. This comes out of Ramstein Air Base in Germany. Officials were speaking to VOA, condition of anonymity ahead of the announcement, which I guess officially is actually not going to come out until, sometime today. But because they're in a different time zone, they may have already done it. You know, they're ahead of us in time. It's like middle of the evening there, right? Almost nighttime, something like that. Evening it would be. Anyway, Zelensky announced he will join Secretary Austin at the 25th meeting of the group. And that comprises about 50 nations that come together under Austin's leadership to coordinate security assistance following Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022. Yes, done under a Biden administration. Last time Russia invaded, it was Crimea, and it was under Obama. During Trump, Putin seemed to settle down a little bit.
Coincidence?
No.
Okay.
look, Putin can smell weakness.
Yes.
You know, he can smell a lot of things. He's closer to the ground than most people, but he can. But look, he's going to take opportunities where they're provided, and he knew that Obama was weak and wouldn't do anything about it. And he knew the same thing of Joe Biden. So
yeah, true.
With Trump coming in, the hope is Trump will be able to talk to them and say, look, this is not beneficial. This is not working for anybody. It's very costly in lives, very costly for the Americans. We tell you, we're tired of it. Let's try to work on a solution. You know, the art of the deal. It is so interesting to me that the idea of diplomacy doesn't even seem to be on the table while Biden has been in charge. Or
no.
Theoretically in charge. But I never hear about peace talks or diplomacy, but it's like no. Israel defends itself after the October 7th massacre. I mean, seemed like they fired one bullet, and all of a sudden, Biden and his acolytes were screaming, ceasefire! Ceasefire! But I don't hear that about Russia and Ukraine. In fact, we're fueling the war. By sending more money, more munitions, more weaponry, et cetera. I never hear that diplomacy. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out. Let's sit down. Never.
Trump was the only one who brought up the word peace.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
So what could it be? Is it that Biden doesn't want peace? Because it would interfere with the money laundering operation that has been a well-oiled machine in the country of Ukraine for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically a laundromat for money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely a huge part of it, which is sad.
Well, and who's taking some home in baskets? Oh, yeah, Biden family.
It's just...
it's a mess.
Yeah. So anyway, another $500 million. Because, look, $500 million is only, what,
only
$500 million. It's by today's standards, I guess it's... It's not much, but I wonder if it could be used to, I don't know, help solidify California against some of these wildfires. If it could help with, you know, maybe planes or equipment or technology or manpower. Oh, wait, no. Maybe it isn't a money issue. After all, the mayor eliminated $20 million out of the fire department's budget. So, maybe
That's
it isn't
amazing.
Money.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And wow. Newsom's got his hands are full of blood. I think they tore down four dams while he's been in power in California, and he touts that he's all happy about it. Like, no, dams mean reservoirs.
Yeah.
That's water. I think the demand for water in California is not decreasing. No, in fact, it's increasing. It just...
Boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Yes.
And these are their... leadership.
What's old Jerry Rivers up to these days?
Oh, huh? Your favorite.
Yeah, I love this guy, Jerry Rivers.
He's talking about Geraldo Rivera. Yes.
This guy, he comes on the scene, and I got to tell you, he has a certain style, swank to him, especially back when he first started, in the 70s. Now he was cool. He had his cool feathered hair and his bushy mustache, and that guy's pretty cool, man, for like a reporter. He's what that kind of thing. Which
70s and 80s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It's so interesting to me that through the years, as you continue to kind of pay attention to some of the stuff he says, all bets are off. Anything Hispanic tinged at all, anything that he finds could be detrimental, in his opinion, to Hispanics at all, that is like his Achilles heel. He just can't think straight. It just everything goes out the window. And I thought to myself, yeah, man, there's a real mistrust and hatred for Hispanics in this country. Wait a second. You got a job on national television and have maintained a career for years, despite the fact that you have your little Hispanic name, Geraldo. How do you explain that?
Yeah.
How do you explain it? If it was the way that he thinks it is, his name really would be Jerry Rivers.
Right.
Yeah, they'd say, we're going to tone down the ethnicity here. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case anymore. It hasn't been for a very long time. During an appearance on MSNBC's The Beat, you can see how far he's desperate for any attention. You know, here's a guy who's had huge ratings, you know, big time name appeal, all that. And now, how far they have fallen, all the way down to scrounging for a little spot on MSNBC.
Wow.
Hey, Geraldo, here's some crumbs from a burrito we had 2 days ago. Oh, I'd be happy to be on the show. Let me tell you how outraged I am. Yeah, exactly. And now he... Oh, physical violence. Geraldo, Mr. Tough Guy, right? Hey, how many TV talk show hosts do you know that, you know, can take a shot in the schnoz with a chair, you know, and come back fighting?
Mm-hmm.
I guess only Geraldo, right?
Yeah.
His nose looked like Jake LaMotta's. So he's on with, he's on there, who cares who he's on with, one of their various low-level hosts, because they're all low-level. He wants to punch Stephen Miller.
Okay.
President-elect Donald Trump's immigration policy advisor. Stephen Miller been, you know, with Trump for a long time, as in the previous administration. Now, don't get me wrong, Stephen Miller is a smart guy. But after a while, just hearing him and his tone and his voice and stuff, I can see how he could be irritating. I mean, everything he says is usually correct, but I go, he's right, but there's an irritation there. I get it. But I don't want to punch him in the nose.
And do you say that on, well, I almost said national television, so I guess really not that many people did hear him say it.
So he wants to punch him in the nose, which, you know, I would say was kind of old school, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's Geraldo who says Stephen Miller's immigration policy is draconian, which is the oldest of old school mentalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Draconian.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but who is draconian? The guy who on national TV at the age of what? He's like 112.
Yeah.
I'm going to punch him in the nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy on the tee. Easy.
Oh,
take
herbal.
It easy on your tee levels there, Geraldo.
It's herbal.
Yeah.
That kind of tee.
Good morning, Donnie. You're on the air.
Morning, Bob. Let's not forget Jerry Rivers' real legacy. When he was a young guy, he's the one that did the expose, at the time very good, about the mental institution in New York and how they were housing these people and the awful condition. Now, it was a great expose. It was horrible the way they were treated. But government, in its usual all-or-nothing fashion, decided we're just going to release all these people on the street. And guess what? That was like 50 years ago, and they're all over the country now. Everybody adopted that type of policy. That's thanks to Jerry Rivers.
Wow. In part, at least.
Thanks, Geraldo. Yeah.
Just call him by his real name, Jerry. It's not his real name. I know it's not his real name.
But it is.
Relax,
Greg. But it is an excuse to pick on him.
Relax, Gregorian.
Hey,
right?
Hey, just follow my calendar, will you?
Okay.
And let's have a hymn.
And if I'm following your calendar correctly, it's time for a break.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 8:45. Good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And yes, it's still cold. Freeze warnings in effect till at least 9 a.m. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
I am not going to have my right to self-defense sacrificed at the altar of identity politics.
The Dana Show.
And I'm not going to be brainwashed into thinking that lethal force is off the table when a criminal would use lethal force against me.
Now, night, 10 p.m. on 97.3 The Sky.
Strike averted. Strike averted. Good morning and welcome. 8:49. Yeah. It's cold. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. We'll warm you up. We'll warm the cockles of your heart. Somebody paid me $10 if I could squeeze cockles into today's show.
They'll do anything for $10.
Apparently. Just about.
Almost.
Pretty much. Not anyway.
Anything. Yeah.
No, this is good news. Look, Jacksonville, many folks employed there, Longshoremen's Union, etc. But really, as a consumer, we would all have a price to pay if they didn't work this out. And it appears, at least, that the labor union representing about 45,000 U.S. dock workers reached a tentative agreement with port employers on Wednesday, averting a strike that would definitely affect East and Gulf Coast ports later this month. Joint statement, you have the International Longshoremen's Association and the United States Maritime Alliance announced they reached an agreement, a six-year master contract, which gives... Are they even allowed to say master? You can't even say master bedroom anymore.
No, you can't.
Master contract, which gives the latter the ability to ratify the terms of the final agreement. We're pleased to announce, blah, 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 tentative agreement, blah, 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 6 years, blah, blah, subject to ratification, thus averting any work stoppages on January 15th, 2025, which was set to go. So 6 days?
Taking it down to the wire.
Now.
Yeah.
And this agreement protects jobs, current jobs, and establishes a framework for implementing technologies that will create more jobs while also modernizing the coast ports, making them safer and more efficient and creating the capacity they need to keep our supply chains strong. The details, not all of them have been released yet. Rank and file members get to review it and do the final approvement, if you will. But many, well, folks on both sides are calling it a win-win agreement. And so that this sounds like a good thing. And I didn't know, honestly, how it was going to go because this is tough. Look, one of their demands was we don't want to be replaced by technology. They found a way to where they're going to have the best of both worlds. They're going to be able to, you know, preserve employment and maybe even expand on it. You know, I guess maybe they kind of gave their plan, a little bit of their plan of expansion and how you're going to have more jobs out of this, yet we're also going to employ the latest technological advances to automize some of this stuff, some of this work, like they've done in other ports in other parts of the world. But I think probably the bigger story economically in the long run is going to be the expansion of ports. And they've been working on a kind of a master plan, if you will, that has to do with the Port of Jacksonville. And actually could have major implications, mostly positive, but possibly some negative, even in our area, here. Yeah, this is all part of like this major hub type thing they've been working on for a while now. So it sounds like, again, like they said, this could be a win-win. Disturbing story that we don't have a lot of details on. Nicolas Maduro, the socialist dictator of Venezuela, announced yesterday the arrest of, well, actually seven men, but two of them he called important American mercenaries, who he said allegedly wanted to destabilize his authoritarian regime. According to Maduro, the recently arrested American nationals are part of a broader mercenary group, seven individuals, that also include two Colombian and three Ukrainian citizens, all of whom stand accused of seeking to generate violence in Venezuela ahead of January 10th, the date Maduro will be inaugurated for a third fraudulently, most believe, obtained six-year presidential term. We say some of these were, three of them were Ukrainian citizens. Wow.
Interesting.
And they're seeking to generate violence. Like, if you want to see or generate or be part of some violence, I don't think you'd have to leave Ukraine to do that.
No.
And if they're of, like, fighting age and they're capable, wow. If I was Zelensky, I might be a little irritated by that. What, you took a skill set that maybe you have theoretically and you shipped it off to Venezuela? What's going on here? And again, when you're dealing with a type of dictatorship like that, it's hard to find the truth. I mean, a lot of people are looking at it like this is more like a kidnapping and there'll be some sort of a ransom is what many are predicting. We'll see, and we'll try to peel back the layers of the complexity on this one. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, this time Horse Sense. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. I have a little information on the Venezuelan situation. My wife is Puerto Rican, and English is her second language, so she knows a lot of the Spanish, you know, people, you know, here in Ocala, you know, the Colombians. They all seem to stick together to Venezuelans and Cubans, they all, because they speak Spanish real good.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, the last few days, has been coming home and revealing some of this Venezuelan stuff. And I said, I didn't even realize they had an election for a president there. And I looked it up, and it was back in July that they did. And Maduro supposedly got creamed, but he, says no. But my wife last night showed me this video from Marco Rubio speaking Spanish to the Venezuelan military to not use arms and military force against your own people. I mean, his Spanish. I asked my wife, I said, how is his Spanish? And she says, Marco Rubio's Spanish is perfect. And he was pleading with the military to not go along with Maduro's craziness. So it's very interesting what's going on, but we haven't heard much about it. But she's been sharing that with me the last few days. Just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you for that input. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Marco Rubio is the son of immigrants from Cuba. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that he can speak fluently. But the overall issue, this Maduro guy, I remember the election, and we tried to get him out of there even before.
Yeah, he's not going.
Unsuccessfully. So, yeah, in Venezuela, I mean, you talk about a country that went from being considered a wealthy country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their oil their oil industry, just fantastic.
Well, it was being run by oil experts, professionals and experts
from American and other companies. Socialization, uh-huh. Right? So socialism comes in and they say, look, government can do it better than the private industry folks. They're probably bleeding all the profits off the top. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. And, of course, the government and the people they installed those positions knew very little about oil, the business of it, et cetera, from A to Z, from poking holes in the ground to, pumping it into your car. So the industry is turned upside down into a perfect example, if you will, of what happens when you're promised things and you start to believe it,
mm-hmm.
like socialism,
yeah.
and it's not turning out so well. Of course it won't.
Never does.
It never does. All right. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up, and we're going to speak with State Representative Chad Johnson about the GRU and a House bill. Coming up, 97.3 The Sky.
This is Sky News.
Congress certified President-elect Donald Trump's election win.
Trending stories.
Severe winter weather gripping much of the nation.
And why they matter.
We're not going to be below freezing in the state of Florida for weeks at a time that would set back agriculture.
I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister.
I know more world leaders than any one of you ever met in your whole god life.
The Panama Canal is vital.
Updates every 30 minutes. Breaking news at once. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.